more details of a memorandum of understanding, a preliminary agreement to end the Iran war, emerged Wednesday as the curtain came down on the Group of Seven meeting of world leaders in the French Alps. Signal switching on Ukraine was another feature of that summit. The United States first had nothing to do with the Russia-Ukraine conflict, then back to joint communique about sanctions against Moscow. The head of one AI juggernaut, OpenAI, met with G7 leaders. Meanwhile, we're tracking the latest salvo in a running battle between a different AI colossus, Anthropic, and the US government. Oh, and a parliamentary by-election in Northwest England. Our top stories might appear to belong in set-apart silos, but where each of them goes next carries overlapping implications for international relations and for global security. Today, we examine the stakes. It's Thursday, June 18th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Clay Collins. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The G7 leaders discussed AI regulation and access. Closing the three-day summit, French host Emmanuel Macron called for democracies to establish a trusted partners regulatory framework around artificial intelligence. He pressed the United States to allow other nations to have greater access to advanced AI models created by American companies. While leading AI tech titans attended the meeting, President Macron's wife, Brigitte, convened a parallel event called Protecting Children in the Age of Artificial Intelligence for their spouses. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who didn't attend the G7 meeting, appeared at the VivaTech conference in Paris, where he expressed optimism that AI will create jobs. The Justice Department announced the indictment of left-wing protesters in Minneapolis. On Tuesday, the department released details of an indictment for 15 members of a left-wing group that protested the Trump administration's immigration and fraud crackdown in the Twin Cities earlier this year. Allegedly part of a group called Direct Action Minnesota, they were charged with crimes ranging from interstate threats to assault on a federal officer. The Justice Department described the defendants' activities as organized political violence that will not be tolerated. Also, goal records tumbled at the FIFA Men's World Cup. French striker Kylian Mbappe scored twice against Senegal in a 3-1 victory on Tuesday, a brace that made him France's all-time leading goal scorer. In the next match, Norway striker Erling Haaland scored a brace, meaning two goals, of his own against Iraq in a 4-1 win. Argentina legend Lionel Messi followed hours later with a hat-trick against Algeria, equaling the career record for most World Cup goals by a single player. Mr. Mbappe is now tied for fourth on that all-time list. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. A series of dominoes might be starting to fall that could lead to Andy Burnham becoming the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. But first, he has to win Thursday's by-election in the constituency of Makerfield. That's not guaranteed. Contributor Katie Marie Davies reports from Henley, England, for The Monitor. Rapid advances in artificial intelligence models raise questions about national security. One example, the face-off between developer Anthropic and the federal government, is highlighting the unusual leverage that some companies have in talks on regulating the technology. Caitlin Babcock reports for The Monitor. The G7 summit shows Europe's enduring desire to work with the United States, but behind the flattery, leaders are showing a new flexibility in dealing with their mercurial American president. Mark Sappenfield reports from Berlin for The Monitor. As the Obama Presidential Center opens its doors to the public this week with a basketball court, barbecue grills, and a public library branch, its vision of transforming a traditional presidential library into a modern community center will be put to the test. Contributor Richard Mertens reports from Chicago for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on how India reckons with a woman's worth. In a society where a woman's status is still largely viewed as subordinate to that of a man, a recent ruling by India's Supreme Court spotlights the significant and largely unacknowledged contributions of women to both individual households and the national economy. In dry legalese, the June 11th verdict establishes a monetary value for loss of domestic care in a compensation case for a 2001 vehicle crash that claimed the life of a young wife and mother of three. The court granted the woman's family a sum of 6.3 million rupees, about $66,000, more than 25 times the initial award offered in 2003. And the judges also set a minimum estimate for domestic homemaker duties at 30,000 rupees, $317 per month, which is about 10 times the amount previously used. Arriving at the current award and the benchmark for future compensation is about much more than numbers, however. The legal process points to a slow shift in views of the innate value and potential of India's girls and women in both family and civic life. The justices used their ruling to counter prevalent perceptions of women, especially wives who are not employed outside the home, as economically unproductive or dependent. Homemakers are nation builders and they ought to be recognized as such, they wrote. At the same time, they acknowledged that an individual's worth cannot be reduced only to monetary terms. The homemaker's contributions are neither entirely economic nor non-economic. It is ironic to describe a homemaker as dependent when, in reality, the household's functioning depends substantially on the homemaker, read another excerpt. By serving as household manager and first teacher for children, the homemaker makes it possible for a spouse to focus on paid employment outside the home. Home to the world's largest population and democracy, India aims to become a global economic powerhouse. But while 77.6% of Indian men participate in the formal labor force, barely 33% of women do so. Successive administrations have sought to raise women's status and expand their options through widening educational, economic, and political opportunities. A 2023 constitutional amendment set aside 33% of state and national legislative seats for women once the current census count is completed. But even as Prime Minister Narendra Modi pushes for women-led development, traditional attitudes run deep. On the one hand, a Pew Research Center poll a few years ago found that 80% of Indians believed it very important for women to have the same rights as men. Yet the same percentage felt that men should receive hiring preference when jobs are limited, and more than 60% agreed that wives should obey their husbands. Legislation and legal verdicts, it appears, are important but insufficient for real change. The Supreme Court has set the ball rolling by recognizing a woman's worth, wrote Indian rights advocate Shobha Shukla in the Eurasia Review last week, but she noted it's only when limited perceptions are questioned that change begins. As India's citizens continue to shift views of themselves and society, not just women, but the entire country stands to benefit. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we understand that God, good, is the boundless source of each individual's supply, we find that it's natural for us to selflessly give to neighbors and humbly receive, and this activity uplifts and unites our communities. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Livy Fletcher, Mackenzie Farkas, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.